I'm talking with Nick Lampson, candidate for Congressional District 22. Nick, let's talk about the state of the race right now. There's some rumors going around that your opponent might be State Representative Robert Talton. Do you have any inside dirt on that, or any opinion on who your opponent might be?
It really doesn't matter who they give me. I feel very confident that the people that were with me when I was heads up against Tom DeLay are not going to fall away. I believe that there is a hardcore group of people that are going to stay voting Republican regardless of who they put up. And I believe that there is enough of the soft Republicans who are fed up with what's been going on in this country and are ready for a change, they'll stay with me. It doesn't matter to me who they give you to run against.
Now, Jared Woodfill, the chairman of the Harris County GOP, has been going around saying, Lampson can't run against DeLay anymore. He's got to talk about himself now. What do you say about that?
Well, first of all, keep in mind that they told me 10 years ago I couldn't beat Steve Stockman. Then they told me a year and a half ago that I didn't have a prayer against Tom DeLay. And then Tom DeLay was going around saying, well, Lampson I can beat Lampson any day of the week. Well, they were wrong on those things. And this is about issues. And I'm going to continue to talk to the people who I talked with when I was running against Tom DeLay. It truly is about homeland security and fiscal responsibility and education and health care. And if I can focus on the things that are critical to the people in the district and offer solutions to problems, I believe they would vote for me regardless of what they're in. I think that's what America wants right now.
All right, well, let's talk about homeland security then. What are you talking about, and what solutions do you have in mind?
Well, first we can talk about our border security and immigration. And as a comparison, look at what the Democrats were proposing when I was there. We proposed increased numbers of guards for the Border Patrol. We proposed increased security along our border. We were very much for increasing the enforcement against employers of illegal workers here in the United States. But at the same time, doing our best to treat people with fairness and compassion. I believe that the proposals that we tried to put into place that I voted for, while Tom DeLay was voting for the partisan issues opposite those, I thought was right for our part. And I feel like I'm right there. And I think we're right as far as port security is concerned, with additional security along our ports. Terrible legacy, in my opinion, of the Republican Party, where ports have asked for $3.8 billion a year, not a year, they've asked for $3.8 billion, but Congress and this administration has only appropriated $708 million to achieve those needs. We, as a Democratic Party, put forth, and I voted for, those issues that would have increased security. We want a strong Homeland Security Department of Homeland Security, one that can set the standards for security in the chemical plants, for example. That's not done in this legislation. We can go on.
Okay, well let's segue slightly into immigration. I mean, the debate now is all about illegal immigrants. Certainly the Texas Republican Party had a lot to say. They seem to be against it. What do you see as being the issues with immigration? Do you believe that the general solution is building a wall or doing something else?
Well, I think that that could be a part of it, where it is efficient and could be cost effective. But we have to secure our border, and that means putting more border guards there. And Border Patrol has been asking for that for years, and I support legislation that would do it. We need to enforce our laws inside this country. To me, when you do that and do it effectively, then you're going to take away the economic incentive for people to force their way into the country. And that begins to take a bite out of our need to go out and round people up, as some have proposed, and send them back. I don't think that's a possibility. So primarily three things, and that is, again, secure our border, increase the number of border guards. We need to enforce the law. If we need to hire more U.S. attorneys and marshals or whatever other, we need to do it. We need to stop the catch and release program. It's being ineffective. If someone is stopped for breaking the law and they're here illegally, then they need to be deported from the country rather than being released back into the community. I think take those steps, and we will easily begin to resolve the problem of the 12 million illegals that are here.
Do you support some kind of path to citizenship for the people who are already here and who have maybe either entered illegally or entered legally but overstayed their visa?
Essentially not. I believe that if we secure the borders and enforce the laws, that it takes away the economic incentive, and you put people in a situation that who have waited in line, for example, for 6 years, one case that I'm working on right now, to be able to come here legally, then they should have the priority for coming into the country.
Okay. I guess my question, though, is the people who are already here, not necessarily be put ahead of anybody who's been in line, but give them some sort of path.
They will get that path over time. But I think that if you make that a part of the plan right now, I think we make a mistake. I think you have to take it in order. You have to take it in the order of securing the border and enforcing the law. Once the economic incentive is taken away, a lot of that problem solves itself. And for those who are remaining, then you can treat them with compassion and move them into the mainstream of this country. We're not going to split families, and that's a critical piece of it. I worked on two cases last year. One was an Italian and one was a Greek. Both were grandparents. Both had been here so long that their families were quite large. We split those families and deported those two people. I don't think that's the right direction, and it sends the wrong message to the rest of the world. But at the same time, we do have laws. We must be a nation of laws, and we must enforce them.
Okay. You talked about fiscal sanity in the budget. Where do you think we need to go from here?
Well, I supported balancing the budget, and I voted for all of the issues, all of the bills that came up that would have accomplished that task, reduced the deficit. While Tom DeLay was voting on them for partisan reasons, I voted for not increasing the debt ceiling, while Tom DeLay voted for it for partisan reasons. And I think that whoever comes into his place is going to be a crony and a clone of him and going to be voting in the same way that the leadership of that party tells them to vote. We need to get waste under control first before we do anything. And it's fascinating to me that I went onto the internet one day and looked and found almost within 15 minutes probably enough money to take out a third of our deficit. And if I can do that as a citizen, I believe that I could do more as a member of Congress, and certainly I believe our Congress can. We have continued to build bridges to nowhere in Alaska through those earmarks that need to be stopped in the way that we've been doing them. It's wrong. The paper industry Hall of Fame is another wasteful expenditure that doesn't put any... It doesn't make education available for one more person, nor does it make access to health care available for one more person. Changing that will make a difference. We have seen $25 billion lost and not being able to be found within our accounting processes of the country. We gave away $8 billion in Iraq with absolutely zero accounting. We have tax loopholes. For one example, $75 billion a year goes to those companies in tax avoidance who offshore their name and post office box. I've just listed more than $100 billion, that if we would act on them quickly and easily, you'd reduce the deficit by a third. Those are the issues that I supported when I was there and will support again, and the other side was voting against, to help their friends who fly themselves around in corporate jets.
What's been going on with your campaign lately?
Well, we're continuing a lot more of the same. I said from the beginning that if I could stay into the neighborhoods and meeting people, knocking on doors, making phone calls, and attracting volunteers, that we'd be able to create more enthusiasm. And it's the kind of enthusiasm that we've seen here at this convention in Fort Worth. With a lot of people who are anxious to go back and begin to work. We've seen larger crowds at meetings, whether they're neighborhood meetings, whether there are our little sessions where we encourage and try to build up the excitement in people to want to go and knock on doors and make telephone calls. I'm thrilled that we have gone to more than 6,000 houses already, that we have made probably between 8,000 and 9,000 telephone calls a month for the last couple of months, and we'll continue to escalate that as we get more volunteers. So it's going to be push ahead with the basic plan of reaching into the community, building the grassroots strength of the Democratic Party, and expecting that that will carry us to victory in November.
Do you have any comment on the lawsuit that the Democratic Party just filed to put Tom DeLay back on the ballot?
Well, only that. I'm proud of what the party did, because we've got to follow what the rules are saying to do. We've seen people like Tom DeLay and Duke Cunningham and so many others push the envelope of the law or break the law to the point where they're giving the wrong message to my children and to our children, and they're not being good role models. So the fact that the party was willing to step up and do what was the right thing for America and asking these people to follow the rule of law, not try to manipulate the system as they have done in so many ways. I think that it was the right thing for them to do, and we'll see what happens from it.
Okay. Nick Lampson, thank you very much for talking with
Charles,
me.
Thanks for what you do. I think this is tremendous, not just for me and my candidacy, but for furthering the ideas and ideals and beliefs of Democrats like me and so many others. I think we're going to have a magnificent year. Largely, it's going to be because of your helping us get message out.
Thank you very much. Thank you again, and good luck with the campaign.
Thanks.